morning and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with your host, Pastor Al Davis, here this evening. And bear with us. We got a couple of technical issues going on here this evening, trying to get a pair of headsets to work. And right now, if somebody calls in, I can't hear you. I can't even hear the program right now. So we'll keep on going here, and hopefully I'll be able to get a set of headphones here that works shortly, and we'll get going here. But we'll make do. That's what we do. And we'll just keep doing the best that we can. And glad that you're with us here tonight. And hope that you'll stay tuned. We'll be with you till midnight tonight. And I hope that we'll be a blessing and encouragement to you and things that we talk about. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air there if I can hear you. But we'll play that by ear, no pun intended, and we'll see how we go. But let's open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to point people to their searching to Christ. And then help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. We want to thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the program, and just want to remind you that you can follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can also go to our Facebook page, and that is facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can follow us there, and when Facebook decides to cooperate, I just see it's reconnecting now. We were doing fine there for a minute, too. But want to remind you, check us out online, and again, our toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and we can hopefully be a blessing to you tonight. Well, want to cover a couple of things here as we're getting started with the program this evening. I had opportunity this past week to participate in a couple of things that were kind of interesting. One, if you were listening to our Friday program, and just a reminder, we have a program every Friday at 1:30 right here on AM 1220 The Word, and that's every Friday afternoon at 1:30. It's a half-hour program, and this past Friday, I had on with me Pastor Jason Myers. And Pastor Jason Myers, he's the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in the city of Medina. And he was with me because I was out in Medina. Medina City Council had a meeting this past Monday night. And let me just put some new headphones on here. Oh, there we go. I can actually hear myself now and coming in loud and clear. So it makes a big difference when I can hear what's happening. But I was going to mention that Pastor Myers was there, and he spoke, and I thought he spoke very well. God gave him grace and the ability to just stand up for Christ during the Medina City Council meeting. They had a special, and I'm not going to spend the whole time tonight on it. I just want to give a quick mention of it and encourage you to go online to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and hopefully by tomorrow I'll have Friday's program on and this program on as well, and you can listen to last Friday's program and with Pastor Myers. But they passed an ordinance, actually two ordinances in Medina County, and the two ordinances that they passed, the first one, relatively innocuous. It's basically along the lines of you which we would all pretty much agree in the principle of not being able to bully people and call people names and insult people because of their, you know, because of who they are. But, of course, it goes a little bit further, making these things against the law, and I really am a proponent of free speech. And when you start taking away free speech, we start having some problems. But that ordinance basically passed, I believe it was 6-1 in the Medina City Council. And then the big one, which is an ordinance, it's like the Cuyahoga County ordinance that basically opens up the women's bathroom to men. If they claim to feel like a woman today and they decide to go into the women's restroom and somebody sees them, if you should see them going that way and you don't know how they're feeling, you just see what looks like a man going into the women's restroom and you say, excuse me, sir, the men's room is over there. They can take offense at that and they can actually go to the law for recourse because you offended them. And in the city of Medina, like in Cuyahoga County, that is now against the law. And there's more to it, of course, than that. So there's a number of people who are standing against that. That ordinance passed 5-2. Now, all five of those city council members that voted that ordinance in are up for re-election in the fall. And so I believe there's people trying to look at possibly running in Medina, you know, in Medina City to replace these people. And so pray about that. Pray for City of Medina. And the reason we did a program on it, the reason I was there last Monday night, and the reason I'm mentioning it again tonight, is because Medina as a city was targeted. Somebody showed me the Equality Ohio website. And Equality Ohio, of course, is one of the large, well-funded LGBTQ organizations in Ohio pushing for these types of things. And they had Medina and another town on their list of targeted cities, Medina being the top one. I said, well, why did they target Medina, Medina City? You know, it's a conservative town in a conservative county. Why'd they target Medina? Well, down in Columbus, Senate Bill 11, which has been promoted by Senator Nikki Antonio out of Lakewood. This bill is supposed to be the fairness bill, which would foist what's in Cuyahoga County and what's now in the city of Medina upon the entire state. And the reason they went to Medina with this and targeted Medina, I believe, is because the Senate Majority Leader, the Senate President, Larry Obaugh, is from Medina. This is his hometown. This is where he's from. And this is a way of putting pressure on him to move this legislation and support this legislation in Columbus so that they can force it upon the whole state. Now, let me tell you, when we were there, and I have pictures on my web on the Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, facebook.com/Live with Pastor Al, they flooded the city council chambers with activists from outside of Medina, and for Pastor Myers to stand up there with activists all around him, sometimes glaring at him, and to point out from the speaker's podium to the council members and then turning and looking at the activists that were surrounding him to point out that a law is not going to change people's hearts. A law is not going to eliminate sinful behavior. The only thing that'll change people's hearts is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that'll help eliminate sinful behavior is people getting right with God, putting their faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then allowing God to live through them. Now, there was more than one activist speaking in favor of the legislation that basically singled out churches and Christians as people that need to be kept in check while arguing for tolerance and openness. I thought that was kind of ironic. In the parking lot afterwards, I was standing with several people, and there was a United Church of Christ pastor from there in Medina who went by, made some disparaging remarks at us. Same guy that spoke up for tolerance and acceptance and non-judgmental attitudes. Well, we sure felt the tolerance and the love and the non-judgmental attitude as he spoke disparagingly to us while going by. And so such is the hypocrisy on the left. So pray for the city of Medina, and we may be talking about that again in the future, some steps that they're trying to take there and what might be done. But it's also, we need to pray for that, because this is something that there's a strong movement in Ohio to push this on the state level. And if enough states pass this, they can push this on the federal level. And we know that the House passed a bill, a House Fairness Act, and thankfully, I don't believe it gained any traction in the Senate. This is on the federal level. And so we need to pray about that. And of course, like Pastor Myers pointed out on Monday evening, the biggest way to counter this stuff is to reach people with the gospel, to see people saved, to see hearts changed, because when hearts are changed, minds will be changed, attitudes will be changed, and that's what we need. We need a turning back to the Lord Jesus Christ here in this country. That's the one thing I wanted to mention, that before we got too far into the program. Then, of course, this past Saturday, I spent all day down in the little town of St. Louisville, Ohio. Most people don't even know where St. Louisville is, and where it's at, it's about, if you know where Mount Vernon is, and a lot of people say, Mount Vernon, never heard of that. The little town of St. Louisville, I think, was about halfway between Columbus and Coshocton. And a little more people know where Coshocton is. It was just north of Newark, Ohio, below Mount Vernon. And Mount Vernon is south of Mansfield. If you go down 71, you hit Route 13, go down through Belleville, Mansfield, and eventually you wind up in the little town of St. Louisville. Well, why was I there? Well, they had the Ohio Liberty Coalition was there, and they had a meeting of various groups from around the state, and it was good to be there because there were various groups there. There's Tea Party groups, there were states' rights groups, there was the NRA was there, Buckeye Firearms was there, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. Some of you are familiar with Michael Goldstein, the state director there. Act for America, the Cleveland chapter with Dan Hermata was there. And of course, they deal with Proclaiming Justice to the Nation, fights against the injustice leveled against Israel and the Jewish people, fights for the defeat of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, and to try to point out anti-Semitism and show Christians that we need to be aware of the Jewish people. So it's a great organization there. Is it ptnj.org, I think, is their website. And then, of course, Act for America, the Cleveland chapter, dealing with national security issues. And I've had some of their guests on our programs in the past, particularly on Friday afternoons. And they deal with everything from, Islamic civilization, jihad activities in this country, the red-green access, which is the marriage of the environmental movement and the Marxist movement, just quite a variety of things. And in fact, I think in a future program, we're going to have a guest who wrote a book called Marxiology, which charts the infiltration of churches by communists. And this goes back a ways. I remember seeing it actually when I was in the Air Force, and there were things that we saw that were going on in Central America, dealing with liberation theology, and people like the current Pope Francis, when he was a priest over there in Central America, South America. And infiltration, if you're not familiar with liberation theology, my first exposure to liberation theology when I was in the Air Force, I saw a picture of supposed to be Jesus Christ standing in workers' coveralls holding a hammer and sickle across his chest. Like if you, those of you who remember the Soviet Union flag with the hammer and sickle on it, he was posed so that the hammer and sickle looked like on the Soviet flag. And this was a theology that was birthed in KGB headquarters. We know this. I mean, this is out in the open now. We knew it back then, of course, but it's out in the open now. And this was an attempt to infiltrate churches. And they did infiltrate certain portions of the Catholic Church, certain Protestant denominations, some to greater and some to lesser degrees. But the idea is they taught that Jesus Christ was a communist or a socialist, and that socialism and slash communism is biblical and capitalism is not. And it was an attempt, of course, to further communism in the world by the KGB, which was the arm of the Soviet, the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. We refer to it as Russia today because the Soviet Union broke up when they lost the Cold War. But jumping ahead here to several things, we'll hopefully be covering that a little bit, maybe on one of our programs in the future, talking about some of that. But a number of these groups were there at the Ohio Liberty Coalition meeting here in the little town of St. Louisville, and fairly centrally located in the state, and it was easy to get to. Beautiful drive, beautiful, gorgeous day. And while we were there, there was quite a few groups. And the thing that was interesting for me as a pastor was the opportunity to interact with people from these various groups, whether it was a group like Act for America or the NRA, Buckeye Firearms, Heritage Foundation, the various groups that were there, whether it was a Tea Party group or one that was dealing more with tax laws or more with legislative agendas, Faith of Our Fathers, dealing with the forefathers and their faith, some groups that were dedicated to teaching the Constitution, things of that nature, and other groups, the Ohio Christian Alliance and different groups trying to deal with Christianity in the public sphere. And to have people come together and to interact with these people. And one of the things that I took away from it was several people that asked me, they said, okay, you're a pastor. How come pastors don't come to these things? And I said, that's a very good question. A lot of times they're just too busy. That's true. But it depends on what we want to make time for. I don't golf. Some people love golfing. So for me to give up golfing on a Saturday, on a beautiful Saturday like this past Saturday, to go and spend all day at this meeting, that was not much of a sacrifice for me because I don't golf. You know, it's like I knew a guy who was Catholic, and every year for Lent he would say, I gave up alligator wrestling for Lent. Well, you know, that was an easy thing for him to give up because he never wrestled alligators to begin with. Well, I don't golf, don't like golfing, and so to give up golfing is fine. But, you know, I gave up some things that I could have done on Saturday to go down. It's a matter of making time. And I go to a number of these meetings and different things, different places, different venues, because I look at it this way. As a pastor, I want to know what's going on in the world. I want to know what issues are affecting us. I want to know where the threat is coming from. That's why I went over to the Medina City Council meeting. I wanted to see what was going on and how they were strong-arming to push through this LGBT agenda. And it was instrumental seeing this, and I was able to give a little moral support, hopefully, to Pastor Myers, and you know, to see him, and I prayed for him as times he went up to be able to speak. And, you know, I need to know about these things, not just because I host a radio program and we talk about these things. That's not the only reason to know these things. I need to know about these things because people in my church ask questions about these things, and I encourage it. I don't say, well, we just got to have enough faith and trust that it works out. No, we need to be harmless as doves, that's true, but we need to be wise as serpents, the Bible says. And so I want to know what's going on out there. I want to know what the Bible says about it. And I don't want to bury my head in the sand or sit off in a corner making daisy chains while the world is collapsing around us. I want to get involved. You know, when the Bible says that we're to be salt and light in the world, you know, the old expression, salt doesn't do any good unless it gets out of the shaker. And of course, when Jesus was talking about being salt and light, he said people don't put a light under a bushel. They put it up where it can shine forth. And, you know, we need to be salt and light in our churches during our services and associating with each other at church. But during the week, what are we doing to reach people? And so as a couple of people asked me, why don't pastors come to these things? And this is not the first time I've heard this question. I've heard it in other venues. Why don't pastors come? The number of pastors who come is few and far between. And, you know, I had to think about that. And I know not everybody is called into every ministry. For instance, not every church is going to have a Christian school. Some do, some feel led in that ministry. Not every church is going to operate a Bible school, a Christian college, a Bible institute. But some are going to be led in that area. Not every church is going to operate a missions board or a printing ministry or an aviation ministry or a radio ministry or on and on. There's all kinds of specialized ministries that God leads certain pastors and certain churches to get involved in. A church that I was very familiar with back in the 80s and 90s in Elkton, Maryland, they had a Christian school. They had a Bible institute. They had a print shop. They had a Christian day school, Christian college. They had a radio station. They even had a mission board. They had all of these things. Now, they were a much larger church than we are, and over the years, they felt led into these ministries, but they didn't hold it against other churches that didn't have the same ministries, because God works with churches. We're all individual churches, and we need to, you know, do what the Lord calls us to do. Now, we're all called to be a witness. We're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every Bible-believing church has the responsibility to evangelize the world and to equip believers with the tools and the knowledge that they need to go out and evangelize. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's no exceptions to that. But, like I said, some churches feel led to start a Bible institute where they can train up preachers to go out to further the cause of preaching the gospel to the entire world. Some churches feel called to start a missions agency or to have a print shop or a Bible printing ministry. These are all ways to carry out the overall command of going into all the world and preaching the gospel and to be a witness to the world. And in my particular case, God's led me into the radio ministry, and in order to do this, I need to know what's going on, and so that I can inform people. And our church, we just, for one reason or another, we're filled with people who want to know what's going on in the world, who want to discuss the news, and want to know what the Bible has to say about what's happening in the world. And so it's my responsibility as a pastor to know what's going on and to be able to use the Bible during our Bible studies and when I'm preaching and things like that to help people understand what's happening in the world in relation to God's Word. And in the process of doing this, I have opportunities to talk with people at some of these events. And being one of the only pastors who shows up at these events, I often get asked to open the event with a word of prayer or to give a benedictory prayer. And I have opportunity to talk to people during the times where you can talk with different people and before and after, or sometimes as a part of the thing. And it gives me opportunities to be a witness to people I'd probably never run into on my own. Some people are extroverts and they're out there all the time. They love to get out and mix it up with people. Other people, such as myself, are introverts, and we have to work to get out there to interact with people. And events like this put me in contact with people so that I can go out and talk with them and give an answer for why we believe what we believe, for why we do what we do. And I've had opportunities to share the gospel with the people from a variety of denominations that are not saved and just curious about what we weird Baptists believe, with non-Christians, people from Jewish backgrounds, different things. And it's been a privilege to have that opportunity. But again, as I said, salt doesn't do any good unless it gets out of the shaker. And so this is just a way that the Lord's opened up for us. And let me encourage you, don't be afraid of these types of meetings. You're not going there to get involved in an ecumenical affair. You're going there to learn what's happening in the world so that you can get the information that we need if we're going to be informed and better able to give an answer for the hope that's in us, and also to be salt and light. Through these things, we have opportunities to help push back by contacting our elected officials, by going to council meetings and things like that, so that we can be a witness and a testimony, so that we can bring, like Pastor Myers did so admirably at the Medina City Council meetings on Monday night, a tremendous opportunity to witness for Christ. Stay tuned, we got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. We'll get to our phone calls here in just a few minutes, still trying to get caught up with a number of bits of news and things like that, but the toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you're trying to watch us on Facebook tonight, don't know, getting zuckered tonight big time. It won't stay broadcasting. It keeps cutting off every time we start talking about some things. And, Facebook just keeps cutting off for us. By the way, while I'm on the subject there of Facebook, let me recommend something to you. You might want to check out. There's a great site out there, and I'm hoping to migrate some of our stuff over to it, called EagleFireNation.com. If you can just online try that, EagleFireNation.com, and you're not going to be censored the way that you are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and places like that. And so you can check that out, EagleFireNation.com. They were at the event that I was at last Saturday, and they're presenting this to conservative groups and even to churches as an alternative to Facebook. People who have tried to watch us on Facebook Live, it's kind of like a love-hate relationship, because we love it when it works, but we just keep getting cut off sometimes, and it's interesting. Sometimes certain subject matter that we talk about, we get cut off more than others. Coincidence or not? But you won't get that at EagleFireNation.com. And these guys are headquartered right here in, I think it's Chagrin Falls, I think is where they're out of. But this is not just a fly-by-night operation. They've got a good platform, and they're working on it. And I was talking to them yesterday at the Ohio Liberty Coalition meeting down in St. Louisville. And I asked them, I said, you know, I like the platform, but we like to do things, you know, broadcast things for our church and for our radio program on Facebook Live. Are you going to be doing anything with that in the future? And he said they're working on it. They're hoping that this fall they may have a broadcast platform added, similar to like Facebook Live or something like that. I do believe they have like Skype and things like that right now, and a number of other things. But if they get this broadcast platform up and running this fall, we're hoping to move over to that rather than Facebook Live. Facebook has just been so problematic, and certainly if you've been following this, if you have posted conservative postings, you've experienced it, I'm sure, where they shadow ban you, they hide stuff that you don't know is being hidden. You think you're posting something and it's going out, and it's not, because they just let you think it's going out. And so, you know, like I said, I didn't plan on mentioning them tonight, but just thinking about that, since Facebook Live cut me off about five times, or, well, I mean, not five times, at least four times in the last half hour, EagleFireNation.com. Check that out. You may be able to find some use for that. All right. Before we get further along again, let me remind you that you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. More information about our church is coming up at the end of the broadcast, and also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's East Coast Pizza. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you've never been there before, mention Live with Pastor Al. You get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Call them, pick up or delivery at 216-341-9100. All right, and wanted to mention, too, there's a number of things going on. This has been one of those busy news weeks, and so I wanted to get to a number of these things. We had a excellent ruling that came out of the Supreme Court here, or I'm sorry, not the Supreme Court. I believe it was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and this is a landmark ruling for several reasons. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is probably the most overturned and most left-leaning court of the federal courts, and this it was issued a majority victory to pro-lifers and the Trump administration. It ruled that President Trump, his administration, can enforce a new rule that is going to result possibly in Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers losing tens of millions of dollars. Planned Parenthood itself called the ruling devastating news. That's a quote, devastating news. The money at issue is federal money for Title X programs, which is a $300 million family planning program to provide birth control, cancer screenings, and STD testing. Now, Planned Parenthood takes this money in, so, and they say, well, we only use it for those purposes. We don't use this to provide abortions. Well, here's the dirty little secret on that. They take that money in and they use it, yes, for birth control and some other things, but it frees up their other money to go in for the funding and all of abortions and all of that. This rule here by the Department of Health and Human Services says that the or ensures that none of the money is going to go to promoting abortion or conducting abortions. And Planned Parenthood receives an estimated $60 million annually in Title X funding, which they, of course, now stand to lose. In June, a three-judge panel, the Ninth Circuit, they allowed the rule to go in effect while the lawsuit from Planned Parenthood trying to block this and others trying to block this plan. While the lawsuit goes forward, the three-panel judge in June said this could the plan could take effect. Sometimes they get an injunction which prevents something from taking effect. They said this can take effect. An 11-judge Ninth Circuit panel ruled earlier here in July that they would hear an appeal. This past Thursday, that same 11-judge panel ruled the earlier order by the 3-judge panel would remain in effect, which basically means the Trump administration can continue to enforce the new Health and Human Services rule. And this is exciting, a 7-4 decision. Which means the majority of the 11 judges believe the Trump administration will likely win on the merits of the case, is what the article I'm reading says. And so this is good. This will deprive Planned Parenthood of some of the funds that it's using. Now, here's something that's interesting with this. The 7 judges who voted for this were nominated to the court. 4 of them by George W. Bush, 2 of them by President Trump, and 1 of them by President Reagan. The 4 dissenting votes all came from judges that had been placed on the court by President Bill Clinton. And, of course, one of the reasons I'm bringing this up, not only is this a tremendous victory for the pro-life community and for the Trump administration here and their pro-life agenda, But this also shows the consequences of elections. Many people, when President Trump was running for election, could not vote for him. Many Christians said they could not vote for him. They just could not abide by some of the things that he had done and said. And as a consequence, some of them did not vote at all. Some of them voted third party. Unfortunately, there are probably even some who voted for Hillary Clinton, who certainly was a strong abortion supporter. And because President Trump won, though, he is the one, rather than a Hillary Clinton president, who is currently appointing judges to the federal courts. And as he's appointing judges to these courts, it's beginning to have an effect on these courts. In fact, this past week, the United States Senate, I think it was about Thursday or Friday, end of last week, the number of judges that the U.S. Senate has approved that have been nominated by President Trump reached 127 judges. President Trump saw 30 judges appealed or added to the appeals court in his first 2 years. Now, that is ahead of President George H.W. Bush, who had 22. Reagan and Clinton by that time only had 19. George W. Bush only had 17. Obama, 16. And President Carter, 12. Judge Bress, who was just approved to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, is President Trump's 42nd appeals court nomination. Now, this is important because the federal court system is three-tiered. There's the appellate courts, the lowest ring. That's kind of, if you want to think about it in sports, that's kind of like the junior league. And then you have the appellate court. And the next one above that is the Supreme Court. The appellate courts and what's happening on some of these courts is very important because probably only about 1% of decisions that reach the appellate court level ever make it to the Supreme Court, which means most of the rulings that affect people in this country are not settled by the Supreme Court, which are the ones we usually hear about. They're actually settled by the appellate courts. And as I said, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has been for some time, quite a number of decades, the most left-leaning and the most overturned by the Supreme Court. But these cases don't always get the attention that they need because they're very important. So that's one of the reasons we're highlighting this tonight. We have seen President Trump through his nominations because he's president. And let me back up for just a second. I was saying about how some Christians were reluctant to support President Trump. If you've listened to this program for any length of time, you know that I was not a supporter of Trump as a candidate initially. I supported Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, and I still think he would have made a great president. But there's been some, when President Trump became the nominee, I supported him. And then, of course, as word came out through some credible sources that during the campaign, not before and not after, but during the campaign, a number of people have attested to the fact that that Trump got saved during the campaign. But one of the things I think helps to indicate that is he never made a big deal about it. God knows whether or not he really did or didn't. But I said the most important thing to me was the courts. I did not want to see a President Hillary Clinton nominating people to the Supreme Court, which at that time had an empty seat, and the prospect of two more seats coming. We've since seen President Trump put two people on the court, and there's still the prospect of another one coming, at least one more, probably two more. But I said the courts were important, that one of the main reasons for supporting and voting for Trump rather than Hillary Clinton or a third-party candidate, because unfortunately, third-party candidates, if you're a conservative and you voted third-party, you basically helped Hillary because you didn't take votes from her, you didn't hurt her, you didn't do anything to hinder her, but you did hinder the more conservative side, which would have been Trump as a candidate. But be that as it may, I voted for him and supported him because I had a great concern for the courts, the Supreme Court, the appellate courts, the circuit courts. Here's what's happened since Trump has been president. Out of the courts that we have, Russell Wheeler of the Brookings Institute says that President Trump has flipped the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals from a Democrat-nominated majority to a Republican-nominated one. That doesn't mean all of them are going to be staunch conservatives, but you're more likely going to get a pro-life, pro-family conservative judge who's a Republican than you are with one that's a Democrat. That's just the political fact of life. Trump's nominees have also strengthened Republican-nominated majorities on the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th Circuit Courts of Appeal. And the 9th Circuit Court now, thanks to President Trump, has 12 Republican-nominated judges and 16 Democrat-nominated judges. And the result of this, sometimes they have cases, and not all of them hear every case. They draw panels. And now that there's so many Republican nominated and some that are actually conservative constitutionalists now, the likelihood of them being on these panels, just like the three-judge panel that heard this back in June that we're talking about, the likelihood of them hearing them and weighing in is greater now because of President Trump. And so on the balance, what has happened is that the justices on the Supreme Court and the judges on the appellate and the circuit courts, federal courts, nominated by President Trump, on the balance, have been good for religious liberty, have been good for pro-life decisions. And this is making a difference in our country. And so, you know, are they all going to be perfect? Are some of them going to become liberal and left-leaning over time? Most likely. But hey, we're better off than we were 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, I doubt we'd have seen the Ninth Circuit upholding the Trump administration's ban on funding going to Planned Parenthood. And it's also interesting. Well, there's just a number of things that have come up on that. And like I said, I wanted to mention some of these things, just a lot of exciting stuff that's going on the political scene that has a direct bearing on us as Christians, has a direct bearing on our freedom of speech, has a direct bearing on our religious liberties, has a direct bearing on pro-life court decisions that are coming, and they are happening. The Ohio heartbeat bill, which has been challenged by the ACLU, we have Justice Thomas on the Supreme Court, who's basically said the Supreme Court's going to have to take this up, and you know, the odds of the Supreme Court overturning the Roe versus Wade decision that basically opened the floodgate to abortion on demand across the country, the odds of that being overturned are much greater now than they were 3 years ago, much greater now than they would have been had Hillary Clinton become president. And if there's another court, a Supreme Court justice appointed before the Supreme Court takes that up, it'll even be more likely that the Supreme Court will overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, is that an end to abortion in the United States? Absolutely not. But it'll return it back to the states. It'll get rid of an extremely poorly argued and founded decision, the Roe versus Wade decision. Even some supporters of abortion actually admit that it's a poor case and a poor decision. So, well, pray for our country. Pray for those that are serving on the courts, Supreme Court, the Federal Appellate Court, and Circuit Court of Appeals. And pray for the state courts, because there's a lot that happened on the state level. And pray for our elected officials. We need to pray for them. And if we who claim to believe the Bible aren't willing to pray for our elected officials, who's going to? It's our responsibility. We need to pray for them. We need to be a witness to them and to those around us. And if we get enough people who are active and getting involved, being salt and light in the community around them, things like the decision in Medina City last Monday can be overturned. Some of these things that are passing can be upheld, like the Ohio Heartbeat Bill and things of that nature. So I just had a lot I had to say tonight and wanted to say about that. And so I want to thank you for listening to me rant and ramble a little bit tonight about some of these things. And stay tuned to the programs. We're going to try and touch on some things and we'll get some stuff on our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And also, as long as Facebook's not deleting them, we're putting things on our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And let me encourage you, if you're a pastor, don't be afraid to talk about what's happening in the world so that your church can understand it. Our responsibility as a shepherd, I believe, is to help people understand what's happening and what we can do. I'm not trying to take away from the importance of preaching the gospel, obviously. And you say, well, I'm not a pastor, and my church is afraid to talk about this. Pray for your pastor. And I'm not asking for every pastor to be as involved in some of these things as perhaps I am, but we need as pastors to know what's going on. And we certainly don't want to be the type of pastor, and I've heard about these, and fortunately most of the pastors I know are not of this type, but there are pastors out there. You know why? The honest reason why they won't talk about these things? They won't even talk about abortion and the pro-life issues. You know why? They're afraid of what it's going to do to their offerings. I've had that told to me by people going to other churches that they've talked to pastors and they've said, no, you know, we won't talk about abortion in our church because we've got some people that are for it, some people against it. I don't want to be divisive and address this issue because it will cause them to limit how much they put in the offering plate. Isn't that sad that a pastor would be more concerned about what comes in the offering plate than presenting the Word of God and taking a stand for life? I mean, that's a sad thing, isn't it? You know, the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's going to be one or the other. If you're not willing to stand up for the most vulnerable among us, the unborn children, and say, hey, these are human lives that we're talking about, and we need to protect them. If you're not willing to do that because you're worried about how much money is going to be in your offering plate, you know what? That tells me you're more concerned about mammon than God. And that's what Jesus said. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. You know, as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Well, I want to serve God, and I want to do what I can to help people navigate this world and help people to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to give an answer for the hope that's in us. That's our responsibility. And to stand up for what's right. You know, we need to do that. If we believe the Bible, and if we believe the Bible has answers for the world around us, we need to take a stand. And again, hats off to all those pastors and those Christians that do take a stand. And if you're one of them, I salute you for that. And if you're in a church where your pastor takes a stand and is not willing to be intimidated and not worried about the financial bottom line, pray for that man. He needs your prayers. Thanks for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.